Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's past. Mark Livonier, your host for an hour of comedy, later on the Jack Benny Show from his last year on the air. But first, it's Burns and Allen, an NBC episode from April 4th, 1946.
Now meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie. As we look in at the Burns home today, we find Gracie about to answer the door buzzer.
Coming.
Good morning, Mrs. Burns.
Well, Mr. Postman, how are you today?
Oh, I'm my usual magnificent self, happy as a lark. And like the lark, spring makes me want to burst into song.
Oh, well, go right ahead.
Thank you. Cement mixer, putty putty. Cement mixer, putty putty. A voot, a rooney.
Cement mixer, putty putty. Who wrote that? The Federal Housing Administration?
Oh, I don't know who wrote it, but he must have been thinking of my wife and myself.
Really?
Yes. She's built like a cement mixer, and in her hands, I'm putty putty.
Well, anyway, I'm glad you feel like singing. The rain didn't dampen your spirits any.
Oh, no. I love to walk along with the wind and the rain in my hair.
I don't think your hair would hold much rain.
It is a little thin on top. My wife says if I get completely bald, she's going to leave me.
Oh, well, you better get busy and do something.
I am. Whenever she's not looking, I pull out a few more. But here I stand talking when I haven't even given you your mail. I have quite a stack of it for you today.
Uh-oh, those first of the month bills. I mustn't let my husband see these.
Yes, Mr. Burns might raise merry old Ned, if you'll pardon my profanity.
Well, I'll hide the bills here in my apron pocket and then rush him along to the office before he's had a chance to discover them.
When my wife doesn't want me to see something, she makes sure my eyes are closed.
Well, how does she do that?
With a left hook and a right cross. Well, good luck, Mrs. Burns. Remember, keep smiling.
George sees the bills for that Easter out that I bought. He'll blow his top. I have to get him out of the house before...
Good morning, Gracie.
Oh, good morning, dear.
Breakfast ready?
Oh, Judge, you don't want to eat here. The food's terrible.
Huh?
Why don't you stop at the corner and get some of that wonderful drugstore cooked food?
But I never eat at the drugstore.
Oh, they have a nice lunch counter. You'll find it right between men's ready-to-wear and the used car section.
Gracie, why are you trying to get me out of the house? You've got something up your sleeve.
Oh, I had them in a better place. Oh!
Hid what? Gracie, what's that bulge in your apron pocket?
Please, George, I'm sensitive about my figure.
That has nothing to do with your figure. Looks like a pocket full of letters.
That's just what it is, letters. I'm getting ready to make alphabet soup.
Let me see those. Holy smoke, look at this stack of bills.
Oh, now, Judge, don't get excited. They're just bills for necessary household expenses. The telephone, electricity, water.
The top one is from Saks Fifth Avenue.
That's the gas bill.
Gracie, we get our gas from the gas company.
Well, I've decided to take our business elsewhere. Did you ever smell that stuff they were sending us?
I suppose Saks has gas that smells good.
I am now cooking with Chanel.
I'd just like to ask you one question.
All right.
How does Saks Fifth Avenue get the gas into our pipes?
Well, so much for the bill.
I see. Now, just a minute. You're not fooling anybody. Here's one from iMagnum. I suppose that's the water bill.
Let me see it. Oh, no. This is a personal letter.
personal letter from my magnum?
Oh, we correspond all the time. He's an old sorority brother of mine.
Gracie.
Well, if you doubt me, I'll read it to you. Dear Gracie, having a wonderful time, wish you were here. Yours truly, I, Magnum.
Gracie.
Take a letter, George. Dear I.
Dear I. Look, this has gone far enough. Let me see that personal letter. I thought so. One dress, $88.
Oh, he shouldn't have done it.
Gracie, why must you always lie to me? Don't you know that if you told me the truth, you'd have my respect? You'd have my admiration?
Yeah, but I wouldn't have any clothes.
This is the limit. Gracie, this dress goes back.
Oh, I can't take it back, George.
Why?
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 Why, yeah, why?
Well, I'll tell you.
Why?
Yeah, well...
Why?
George.
Yes.
You see, the dress isn't really for me at all. It's for Bill Goodwin.
I doubt if it will fit him.
Oh, well, what I mean is, it's for Bill's girl, Alice. He didn't have the cash, so he charged it on my account.
Bill's girl, Alice?
Oh, a lovely girl. They're engaged, you know. Bill bought her this dress for Easter.
I see.
Yes, yes. Some girls get nice things. The rest of us, well, I'm not complaining. I have my health.
Well, hiya, Burgess.
I had my help.
We were just talking about you, Bill.
Huh?
How's Alice?
Bill, well, let's go out to the kitchen and have a cup of coffee. George wants to be alone.
No, he doesn't. He wants to ask Bill a question. How's Alice, Bill?
Alice?
Yeah.
Oh, she's fine.
Oh, I'll be darned.
You mean you really have a girl? You mean you really have a girl named Alice?
Well, to be exact, George, I have five girls named Alice.
Well, I'm talking about the Alice you're engaged to.
Oh, well, that narrows it down to three. You see, George, Alice is a very common name. Now, I have five. Some girl collectors have even more.
Girl collectors?
Yes, it's a little hobby of mine that keeps me out of the pool room. I have one of the largest collections in Hollywood, and some of my specimens are very rare. In fact, I'm the only collector in the United States who has a genuine silver digger.
Silver digger?
That's a girl who digs you only for car fare. Of course, the fella I envy is a collector in Burbank. He has a Northern Emmy Lou.
Yes, well, they usually come from the South.
Oh, yes, sure.
The South, you see. I pronounce for T's.
Uh-huh.
Now it's your turn to
yes,
say something.
I offered to swap him four Genevieves and a pair of Helens for her, but he refused.
Bill, I'm only interested in one girl. The Alice you bought an Easter outfit for.
Oh, well, I didn't buy any Alice an outfit, George.
I thought so.
What's this all about?
Well, Gracie ordered a lot of clothes and tried to pretend she hadn't. Why didn't she come to me? I'd have bought her an Easter outfit.
Sure, an egg and a package of dye.
Bill, I think you better leave. Gracie and I are going to have a little family fight.
Okay, scream if you need help, George.
Goodbye, comedian.
So long, caveman.
So, you lied to me about the dress?
Yes, dear, I lied to you. Bill didn't buy the dress for Alice.
I thought so.
Meredith Wilson bought it.
Meredith Wilson bought a girl a dress?
Oh, he's become very worldly. The other day I heard that he went to the burlesque show.
Someone was pulling your leg.
I'll bet it was Meredith. He's become very worldly.
Oh, stop this nonsense.
You don't believe Meredith bought Alice a dress, huh?
I don't believe Meredith even knows a girl named Alice. You're lying and you know it.
George, if I'm lying, may that chandelier fall from the ceiling this very minute.
Hello, all.
Oh, let's step in the next room, shall we?
Meredith, I'm glad you dropped in. How's Alice?
Alice? You mean Alice back in Mason City?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, she's fine.
You see, George?
Funny thing you're mentioning her. I got a letter from home yesterday, and Alice just had eight kittens.
Ha ha ha!
I see.
Well, don't the darndest things happen in Iowa?
So Alice is a cat.
Oh, sure. Don't see how she could have kittens otherwise.
And as far as you know, Alice doesn't wear dresses.
Nope. Of course, I'm not home all the time.
Anyway, you didn't buy her a dress and charge it to Gracie's account.
Why, no. In the extremely unlikely event that I buy a cat a dress, I would gladly assume the cost of such a purchase myself.
Yes, that's what I heard. Okay.
However, if you know of some deserving puss who would like such...
We don't know.
Well, don't hesitate to call on me if you happen to run across one.
We won't. We won't, Meredith. Goodbye.
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 A cat in a dress. By George. Still, I can't say it would attract me, especially.
Out. Well, I've had all of this I can stand. I'm going to the drugstore and get some breakfast.
Oh, dear. May I use the car while you're gone?
You may not. I'm punishing you for all those lies you've told.
Oh, yes, dear.
So I order you not to take the car out of the driveway.
Yes. Well, I promise, dear.
And stick to it. Goodbye.
And I won't take the car out of the driveway either. I'll take it over the lawn and across the sidewalk. How does that man put up with me?
It's springtime in the Rockies with Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. Meredith, it seems to me I've heard that tune you're playing on and off now for a good many years.
Yes, you have, Bill. Springtime in the Rockies was composed 23 years ago, and I think it'll always be among America's favorite songs. It's not only a sweet, singable melody, but the idea behind the song, even its title, brings to mind wonderful pictures of one of the most beautiful sections of all America.
Yes, that's true. Springtime in the Rocky Mountains is certainly one of the really great sights in this country. Cherry blossoms bloom against the green backdrop of majestic pine and hemlock, and in the distance, snow-domed peaks tower in the clouds. No wonder it's an unforgettable part of our American scene. Gracie took the car out against George's orders and promptly smashed up the fender. She's at home now, dreading the return of her lord and master.
Uh-oh, here he comes. If he sees the car, I'm really in trouble.
Gracie!
Oh, hello, George. I was in the kitchen fixing you some lamb chops because I know you love lamb chops, don't you? The least I can do for my darling handsome husband is fix him some lamb chops, isn't it? So I've been fixing lamb chops. You saw the car,
I saw the car, yes.
I thought I told you not to take it out of the driveway.
Oh, I didn't, dear.
Then how did the fender get smashed in?
Well...
And don't tell me the one about the windstorm that blew a tree over on the car. I heard that one in January.
Oh, well...
Or the one about the aeroplane that flew too low. I heard that in November.
Oh. Well, the people next door called in the carpenter to mend their side gate, and
he was near side. Instead of hammering on the gate, he hammered on our fender.
August?
June.
Oh, you're right. August was the one about the earthquake.
September. This time for novelty, let's settle for the truth. I want to know how a fender could get that smashed up. Looks like an elephant sat on it.
It looks like... Why, George, you saw it.
Huh?
You saw the elephant come up on our driveway and sit on the fender.
Gracie.
You know... He must have escaped from the circus that's in town. Let's sue them.
Look, I know there's a circus in town. But do you want me to believe that one of their elephants sat on our fender?
Well, I hoped you might. It was your idea originally.
This is the biggest whopper yet. An elephant sat on the fender.
Well...
Gracie, you've forgotten how to tell the truth. Lying with you has become a disease.
A disease?
Yes. Keep it up and you'll lose me. The kindest, sweetest, most generous husband a woman ever had.
Must be a contagious disease.
Oh, stop. Gracie, what's wrong with you? 3 o'clock and you've been tossing around all night. Go to sleep.
Oh, I'm afraid to. I've been having nightmares about telling lies. You scared me.
Well, I'm glad I did. Now, quiet down and go to sleep.
Yes, dear.
Gracie. Gracie.
Oh, hello, Bill. My, but you're handsome.
That's a lie. You know I'm ugly.
Oh, but Bill, you have such lovely curls and those dimples.
That's right. Make fun of me because I'm bald-headed and have 2 warts on my face.
But Bill, you are handsome.
Lies. Lies. Nothing but lies.
George, I told the truth and he wouldn't believe me.
Gracie's a liar. Gracie's a liar.
Gracie's a liar.
Gracie's a liar.
Gracie's a liar.
Gracie's a liar.
Gracie's a liar.
Gracie's a liar.
Come in.
Good morning, Mrs. Burns.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Postman. I hope your wife hasn't been beating you again.
What? My beautiful, delicate, precious little bride, Bertha? Why, she's as gentle as a lamb.
But she does beat you.
That's a lie. I love my wife. Even now, my heart cries out for her. Bertha! Bertha!
But who's the postman?
Goodbye, Mrs. Burns. Remember, keep lying.
Gracie's a liar.
Gracie's a liar.
Gracie's a liar. Gracie's a liar.
Gracie's a liar.
Gracie's a liar.
Gracie's a liar.
Good morning, all.
Oh, hello, Meredith. Would you like to come to dinner tonight?
Sorry, Gracie. Errol Flynn and I are taking a couple babes out.
What?
This is my regular night to give Errol a lesson in romance.
But, Meredith, you're shy. You're bashful. You don't know anything about lovemaking.
That's a lie. Us boys from Georgia are natural-born lovers.
Well, you're not from Georgia. You were born and raised in Mason City, Iowa.
Lies, you all. Lies, you all. Nothing but lies, you all. Lies, you all.
Well, George.
Nothing but lies.
George, that time I know I told the truth. Honest, I did.
Ha!
Gracie's a liar. 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 Gracie's a liar.
Oh, George was right. Lying has become a disease with me, a terrible disease.
I'm ready to operate, Dr. Goodwin.
What's the nature of her ailment, Dr. Burns?
Enlargement of the falsehood gland. A complete prolapse of the truth. This is going to be a very painful operation.
Your instruments are ready, Dr. Burns.
Very well. Axe. Axe. Blowtorch. Blowtorch.
No, please, stop.
Dynamite.
Dynamite.
Cement mixer.
Cement mixer.
Putty.
Putty.
Oh, help, 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 please, don't stop.
Gracie, wake up. What's wrong with you?
Oh, George, I just had the most terrible dream. I'll never tell a lie again as long as I live.
Must have been quite a dream.
Oh, it was terrible. I'm still scared. Ask me some questions right now so I can tell the truth and get rid of this awful feeling.
Okay. That delicious apple pie we had last night. You said you made it. Did you?
No, Meredith Wilson made it. Ask me another one.
I gave you $10 to pay the gas bill. Did you pay it?
No, I spent it on a permanent. Ask me another one.
How old are you?
Well, I feel much better now. Let's get up.
Okay. You're really going to keep your promise to tell the truth, huh?
Oh, you bet. No more lies for me.
Well, you're not even going to flatter me anymore when you want something?
From now on, I only tell the truth.
Atta girl. Remember how you said last week that Charles Boyer was a second-rate lover compared to me? Why, Charles Boyer makes me look like a bum.
You said it.
Of course, I'm not bad, mind you. I said, of course, I'm not bad, mind you.
I heard you.
Just that I don't compare to a really great lover like Boyer.
You said it.
Atta girl, stick to the truth.
Yeah, I will.
Believe me, it's better than those lies you were telling. I'm really proud of you, Gracie.
Oh, thank you, George. And as a reward, could I take the car this morning?
I guess so. Where are you going?
Well, Bill Goodwin called last night and wants me to drive him somewhere. He said his car got out of whack.
Okay.
That's the switch, you know. Bill's car getting out of whack. Usually it's the whack who
getting
gets out
of
his
car.
Car.
Yeah. All right. Drive carefully, Gracie, and remember, no more lies.
No more lies, George. Goodbye, dear.
Gee, it's swell of you to drive me out to the circus grounds, Gracie.
Oh, glad to do it, Bill. But what do you do out there? The circus doesn't open until Monday.
Oh, well, they're shooting a scene from my new picture out there.
Oh, is that the one you're doing with Lana Turner?
Yes. In the picture, you see, she's madly in love with me, but for years, I won't even look at her. Yeah, I think they're calling it the Green Years.
Well, here's the circus lot, Bill.
Will you come in with me, Gracie, or would you rather get home to George?
Oh, well, I do enjoy seeing freaks.
Oh, rather get home to George, huh?
Oh, no, no, I mean, I want to come in with you.
Oh, well, you can leave the car parked right here, beside these bales of hay.
Oh, look, Bill, here comes some elephants.
Yeah. Hey, I guess they're after this hay.
My, that one's getting awfully close to the car.
Oh, well, there's nothing to worry about. They're very tame, Gracie. Get away. Get away. Hey, shoo, elephant. Shoo, get away. Get away.
Oh, Bill, the elephant sat on my fender. Here comes George home. My only chance is that he didn't see the car.
Gracie.
Hello, dear. Do you know what I'm doing? I'm knitting you a sweater. Isn't that nice? Because my darling, a handsome husband should have a sweater to cover his glorious, brawny chest, shouldn't he? So, I'm knitting you a sweater. You saw the car,
I saw,
huh?
The car, yeah. Gracie, what happened to that fender?
And remember, I want the truth. The absolute truth.
The truth?
Yes.
All right. Well, I'd rather not discuss it, George.
I want to know exactly what happened.
All right. I happened to park... Oh, no, George, some other time.
Gracie, I want the truth.
Well, if I tell you the truth, you won't believe it.
I certainly will believe it.
How much you want to bet?
Gracie, what happened to the fender?
An elephant sat on it.
That broken-down story again.
Now, you see, I told you.
Don't give me that.
Honest, George, that's what happened.
Oh, stop. Now, let's have the truth. What actually happened?
Well, all right. I was driving up a one-way street the wrong way, and I stopped to look at a hat in a store window, and a bus hit me in the fender.
That's more like it. That I believe.
I see.
Now, have you learned your lesson?
I certainly have. In the future, I'll know just what to do.
Burns and Allen on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from the 4th of April, 1946. You may have recognized the famous voice of Mel Blanc in that episode. In the same month of that broadcast, he was also on the Jack Benny program a few times and was also heard on the Abbott and Costello show on the 11th of April, 1946, in three different roles. This is an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for a surprise birthday party for Jack Benny on his CBS program from its final season on the air from the day before his actual birthday, February 13th, 1955.
The Jack Benny Program. The Lucky Strike Program starring Jack Benny with Murray Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, the Sportsman Quartet, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Benny's birthday is February 14th, and whenever one of Jack's birthdays rolls around, it's quite an event. Last year, it was more than memorable because everybody was making preparations, and, well, let's go back to last year and look in on some of them.
The regular weekly meeting of the Beverly Hills Beavers will now come to order. The motion before the club is resolved. The Beavers will give Mr. Jack Benny a surprise birthday party, and for this purpose, will withdraw our entire treasury of $1.43.
I second the motion, Stevie.
Thank you, Joey, but call me Mr. President. No familiarity during meetings. Any questions? What is it, Cliff?
Well, I'm a new member of the Beavers, and I'd like to know who Jack Benny is.
Are you kidding? Don't you know who Jack Benny is?
No, who is he? Who is Jack Benny? He's only the greatest fullback that Yale ever had.
Yeah, and he quit football because he was afraid of hurting his hand. And that would stop him from playing the violin.
That's right, Cliff. Mr. Benny's one of the world's greatest violinists. Well, if he's the world's greatest violinist, how come I never heard of him?
That's because he's so modest. He goes under the name of Yasha Heifetz.
Well, since Mrs. Benny is such a nice man, I vote that we give him the birthday party.
Let's all go over to Miss Livingston's house, and she'll give us a list of Mr. Benny's friends.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Colleen, have you straightened out the living room?
Yes, Miss Livingston. Oh, won't Mr. Benny be surprised when he finds out you're giving him a birthday party?
He sure will. Tell me, Pauline, how does my new dress look?
Oh, it's lovely, ma'am. Only if I had nice legs like yours, I wouldn't hide them with such a long skirt. Men like pretty legs, you know.
Yeah. And to think that for 4 years I hid mine behind a counter at the May Company. But I'm not trying to be glamorous tonight. You know, Bob and Don are married, and Dennis is too young for me, and Mr. Benny is too old for me.
Well, I'm surprised to hear you say that anyone is too young or too old for you.
Why?
Anything between the Boy Scouts and the Townsend Club is okay with me.
Why, Pauline, I didn't know you liked men so much.
Oh, I do, ma'am. Why, I like them so much that I... Well, you'd think me silly if I told you what my favorite dream has been for years.
No, I won't. Tell me, what is your favorite dream?
That I'm a Dixie cup in the New York Giants locker room.
Well, come on, Pauline. There's work to do.
Yes, ma'am. Say, would you please tell me one thing, Miss Livingston? Don't you ever go out with Mr. Benny, just the two of you alone?
Occasionally. I remember one very warm night last summer when Jack drove me up to the top of Mulholland Drive.
Gee. How'd you make out?
Fine. I sold more good humors than he did. Now, Pauline, you set the table, and I'll get all...
Miss Livingston's residence. Just one moment, please. Miss Livingston, it's the baker. He wishes to talk to you.
Oh, good. Hello? Yes, I want the cake delivered as early as possible. How many candles? 39. That's right, 39 candles, and arrange them in the shape of a question mark. Bye.
Say, Miss Livingston, how old is Mr. Benny, really?
Oh, I'm sorry, I can't tell you. You see, Mr. Benny and I have an agreement that saves us both a lot of embarrassment.
An agreement?
Yes. I never tell anyone his age, and he never tells anyone my salary.
But, Miss Livingston, if Mr. Benny pays you so little, how can you afford this nice apartment and all your nice clothes and everything?
My mother writes for Jackie Gleason. Well, I better go over the invitation list and start calling.
Oh, Miss Livingston, what are you going to do about music?
Well, I've been trying to reach Charlie Bagby, the piano player, so he'd bring the boys and the band over. I've tried to get Charlie 3 times. Wonder where he is.
Four ball in the side pocket. Watch it, Mel.
Yeah, okay, Charlie. Hey, Charlie, how's about coming over to my place for a poker game tonight, huh?
Gee, I'd love to, Mel, but I can't. 10 ball in the corner.
Well, why can't you come, Charlie?
Well, it's Jack Benny's birthday today. And me and the rest of the boys in the band are throwing him a surprise party. 7 ball in the side.
Hey, how old is Benny, anyway?
Oh, I can't tell you that.
But do you know how old he really is?
Yeah, but I can't tell you. 62 ball in the corner.
Wow.
I mean combination shot off the 6 and 2 ball.
Oh. Hey, where are you musicians going to have the party?
Over at my house. I had a swimming pool put in last month, and I just filled it. Everybody will have fun.
Ain't it pretty cold weather for swimming?
Yeah, but once you dive in, you won't notice it.
Oh, is the pool heated?
No, it's filled with old crow.
Ah.
13 ball, cross corner. Well, that finishes the game. I beat you 25-4.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Charlie, you're lucky having a steady job with Benny all these years and shooting pool like a champ.
Yep. You owe me $2.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Here you are. But don't you feel ashamed of yourself taking money from a guy who's on unemployment relief?
No, you make more than I do.
Oh.
Well, I better start calling some people and inviting them to the party me and the musicians are giving. I think I'll call Dennis Day first.
Gee, Mother, why do you want to leave the house just because I'm giving a surprise party for Mr. Benny?
I think you're wasting your money on that mean old man.
Oh, now, Mother, that isn't fair. Mr. Benny has been like a father to me. Why, only last week he gave me advice on how to be popular with the girls.
Oh, he did, huh?
Yeah. He took me aside and said, Dennis, my boy, you're missing a lot. You ought to get a girl and on some moonlight night, drive her over to Lover's Lane, put your arms around her, pull her up close to you, put your face close to hers, and...
Yes, then what did Mr. Benny tell you?
When he got to that part, he fainted.
Well, look, Dennis, let me give you some advice on that.
Yes, Mother?
Son, as you go through life, you meet many girls.
Yeah.
And someday you'll meet the one girl you'll want to spend the rest of your life with. And it will probably be when you least expect it.
Gee. Say, Mom, how did you first meet Father?
We were matched together in the Golden Gloves. Well, Dennis, I've got to be running along now. I hope your party turns out nice.
Thank you, Mother. Well, I got to get everything set for the party. Now I better see if I have everybody's phone number.
If I ever needed you, I need you now. I can't remember when I've ever been so blue. I ever needed love, I need it now. I feel so all alone, I don't know what to do. No day or night goes by when I don't have my cry. I feel like ease my aching heart, but you'd know how. If I ever needed you, I need you now. No day or night goes by when I don't have my cry. I feel my aching heart, but you know how. If I ever needed you, I need you
now. Well, I've got everybody's phone number but Don Wilson's. I want to call him and his wife.
Oh, darling.
What is it, Pudgy?
I want to tell you, honey, the table looks beautiful.
Oh, thanks, dear. But if this is to be a surprise party for Jack Benny, I think you better start calling your guests.
I will, as soon as I finish wrapping this present for Jack.
Well, I hope you're giving him an appropriate gift. What's in that package, darling?
See if you can guess.
A watch?
Nah. I'll give you a hint. They're round and firm and fully packed. It's all free and easy on the draw.
On the what?
Draw. Now, what is it?
A box of Crayolas.
No, pet. Now, listen again, sweetheart. Take last night after dinner. I went into the living room, sat down in my easy chair, struck a match. Now, what did I light?
My mother's picture.
Yes, and while it was burning, what did I light with that?
Oh, darling, don't keep me in suspense. What did you buy Jack for his birthday?
Oh, but dear, it's so obvious. Now, look at the letters on the box. You should be able to figure out what it is. L-S-M-F-T.
L-S-M-F-T. No, a long silk muffler from Tubby.
No, dear. It's a carton of Lucky Strikes, and LSMFT stands for Lucky Strike, means fine tobacco.
Oh, well, everybody knows that.
Well, then why'd you make me tell you?
I love the way your big fat face lights up when you say it.
Now, come on, dear. Let's go through this list and see if I forgot anyone.
Fine thing. It is my birthday. I'm all alone. Nobody even thinks of me. Nobody cares. No cards. Not even a phone call. Who is it?
It's me, boss.
Rochester, I don't want to talk to anyone. Leave me alone.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Quiet, Polly. When I want your help, I'll ask for it.
Boss, you haven't eaten all day. You want me to get you some?
I don't want anything. Just leave me alone.
Okay, okay. I wonder what's wrong with him. He's kept himself locked up in the den all day. Maybe he bet on a horse. No, if Mr. Benny bet on a horse and that horse lost, he'd beat it to death with his bare hands. I just can't figure out what's the matter with him.
Rochester, if you don't mind, I'll have my dinner served in bed.
What's the matter, boss? Don't you feel good? You've been brooding all day.
I haven't been brooding. I want to lock myself in the den. It's my own business.
Wait a minute, boss.
Huh?
Have you been crying?
Why, what makes you think I've been crying?
There's a rainbow in your little blue eye.
There is? I mean, who cares? A lot you or anybody else worries about me anyway.
You're wrong, Mr. Benny. I worry about you.
Oh, you do, eh? Well, Rochester, what day is this?
Saturday.
Uh-huh. Saturday, February what?
The 14th.
Well, doesn't that mean anything to you?
Saturday, February 14th. Oh, my goodness, I forgot to put the garbage out.
If not that, come back here. Now, let's not talk any more about it. You go in and clean the den. I'm going in the kitchen and have a sandwich and a glass of garbage. I mean, milk.
Okay. Well, it won't take long to straighten up the den. I'll put these books away on the shelf.
Hello, hello.
Well, hello, Polly.
Here I am, all alone. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. What are you talking about?
Today's my birthday. Today's my birthday.
Oh, my goodness. How can I be so stupid? I better go out in the kitchen and fix things up right away. Excuse me, boss. Excuse me.
Rochester.
Wait a minute, boss.
Rochester, what are you doing?
I'm putting a candle on a cracker. It's Polly's birthday.
Oh, it is, eh? Well, I'm glad to hear it. I'm going to my room.
Gosh, I can't figure out what's bothering the boss. He's usually so cheerful and... Hello, Mr. Benny's residence.
Rochester, this is Miss Livingston.
Oh, hello, Miss Livingston. You'll never guess whose birthday it is today.
I know, Rochester, and that's why I called. I want to give a surprise party.
A party?
Yes, do you think you can get him out of the house?
Him?
Certainly.
Well, he sure fooled me, laying an egg this morning.
Rochester, what are you talking about?
The parrot.
Parrot? It isn't the parrot's birthday. It's Mr. Benny's birthday.
So that's why he's been feeling bad all day. He thought everybody forgot about him.
Oh, no. When I called the gang, I found out that everybody was going to give him a party. So we all decided to come over to Mr. Benny's house and surprise him.
Well, bring some food with you. The time lock doesn't open the icebox till 6 in the morning.
Don't worry, we have food. You just get Mr. Benny out of the house for a little while, and don't let him suspect anything.
Okay, Miss Livingston, and leave it to me. I'll get him out of the house, and I'll be clever about it.
Gee, I feel a lot better taking this little walk. But I can't understand Rochester throwing my hat and coat out. When I went out to get him, he slammed the door. Gee, I've been walking for about 40 minutes now. I'm kind of tired. I think I'll walk across the street and get on a bus for home. Fine birthday, huh? Gee, look at this theater marquee. Now playing, The Horn Blows at Midnight. I guess they're reviving it again on account of the Academy Awards. I think I'll go to see it again.
Rochester, we've been here 4 hours now. If Mr. Benny only went out for a walk, why isn't he back?
I don't know, Mr. Day.
Well, I've waited long enough. I've got to go home.
Me too.
I wonder what happened to the boss.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon, mister.
Huh?
I'm the manager of this theater. We've shown you The Horn Blows at Midnight 3 times. Now, will you please go home so we can close up?
Okay, okay. By the way, mister, the girl at the box office told me that you haven't sold a ticket all week.
That's quite right.
Well, if that's true, how come there's someone sitting in almost every seat in this theater?
We rent it out as a storage room to a mortuary.
A mortuary? You mean all the people in those seats are... That's amazing.
I'll say it's amazing. Yesterday, right in the middle of the picture, 3 of them got up and walked out.
I wondered why the guy at the door didn't tear my ticket. Well, I better go on home. Coming home to a cold, dark house. What a birthday this was.
My loyal gang I've got. I got a good notion to fire every one of them.
If I had any talent, I would.
Yeah, I'm tired.
Well, I might as well go to bed. Now, who can that be at this time of night? Hello?
Hello, is this Jack Benny?
Yes.
Oh, this is Western Union. We have a singing telegram for you from your sister in Chicago.
Oh, a singing telegram for my sister, eh? Well, that's cute. Go ahead.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Jack Benny.
Well, thank you very much. That was swell, really. And I do think that... Look, I've got to get away now. That was awfully sweet of you. Now, if you'll just...
Happy birthday, Jack Benny. Well, thank you very much.
And welcome,
yes, you're welcome very well.
Jack will be back in just a minute.
Gee, it's 9 a.m. Sunday morning. Gee, I hope I have a good show this afternoon. Good morning, Rochester.
Ah, good morning, boss. Feeling a little more cheerful today?
Yes, I feel fine.
You should have come back earlier last night.
Why?
The whole gang came over to give a surprise party and celebrate your birthday.
What? A surprise party for me? My whole gang? You mean Mary and Don and Dennis? Gee, they didn't forget me.
Why, boss, that rainbow's coming back in your little blue eye.
Well, I can't help it. I'm so happy. Good night, folks.
The Jack Benny Show on Tuned to Yesterday from February 13th, 1955 on CBS. Bringing the curtain down on this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.